I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
All right, Joey Harrington in studio every Friday at 5:30. Former Oregon quarterback, former NFL quarterback, handsome man, and a rivalry game that, well, you didn't play much in. I remember hot, fun Joey Harrington. In fact, I remember you told us, I think you never played at Husky Stadium and only played Bingo. Against them once.
Wow, he actually listens.
How have I played at Husky Stadium more than you?
Well, I held one game at Husky Stadium.
Oh.
You know, but that didn't really count.
Yeah, mine was, I did at one where I was on PAT and kickoff return. Mm-hmm. I had one of those too. It was like a whopping six plays.
I think I held for three field goals and a PAT or something.
Yeah.
That was my sophomore year.
And you play them once at Autzen?
Once at Autzen. That was, they were number six in the country with Neuheisel and Tui, and they came in and we beat them at Autzen. And then the next year was when they fell off. Like, they had that scheduling where you always lost one of the teams when it was just the Pac-10, and the scheduling, you played three non-league and eight conference opponents.
And you missed them.
And we missed them that year, and there was such a big stink that they rearranged the schedule to get Washington back on. And I think that's why Oregon went to Washington State for what seemed like the better part of the next decade. Mm. Like, every year it's like, oh, we play the Cougars in Pullman again. And that's because I think they switched. I could be wrong. I don't know.
Did it mean, obviously now this has become a big deal. I make the argument that for both schools, I think this is their biggest rival. I think this is bigger than the Apple Cup, and I think it's bigger than the Civil War to a lot of people. Did it have the same connotation when you played, or was it not quite there yet?
See, this is a really interesting rivalry, because at no point during, let's call it 25, 30 years, has it been an evenly matched series.
It's like a seesaw. It's always tilted.
I did a study, but so for 40 years, 20 years previous to the pick and the 20 years subsequent, the 20 years previously, I think Washington was 17-3 against Oregon. The 20 years after, I think Oregon was 16-4. And so there's never been that back and forth where one wins one, then the next year you get them back. There's always, like, and it's almost like a, I don't think an animosity, but there's a, one team never seems to acknowledge the other because they've been beating them for so long. Now I think we're finally at a point where both programs, in respect to where they had been, you know, at the top of college football, they've both taken a little step back, and they're both great programs, and they're both have very good teams, a little bit, different year to year. But I think we're finally at the point where we're going to have a true rivalry. And I actually think it'll, I don't want to say out, but bring to the forefront some of those feelings that have been, pushed down. If you win 7 years in a row, it's like, all right, well, yeah, we hate Washington, but we beat them every time in the last decade. So, but that's not how it is anymore.
See, I kind of feel that way about the Apple Cup and the Civil War, right? It's like, obviously there's been some moments for both Washington State and for Oregon State, but I think that's maybe why the animosity to me always was more for Oregon and Washington between the two, because it felt like those were kind of It was a bigger deal. I feel like for Oregon and for Washington fan, they almost view the other as a little brother, whereas Washington, Oregon, it's you want to get where they're at.
Well, yeah, for so long, we wanted what Washington had.
Yeah.
And then once, and it's really, I don't want to say it's the pick, but that's, and it's funny, hearing Bilotti talk about it, he said that's not the biggest play even in that game. But that was kind of the turning point where for those programs, right? And so we always wanted what they had. And then for the next few years, when we kept beating them, they wouldn't acknowledge it. Like, they wouldn't, until the point where it got to where we were actually and truly head and shoulders better than them. And then it was like, God You know, then there was that, like, they wouldn't acknowledge it as a rivalry until we were truly at that point. Yeah. And then at that point, we were significantly better than them, so we didn't look at them as a, you know, oh, the 0-12 Tyrone Willingham. No, who cares about them? You know, so it's a really interesting, and it, yeah, but both programs have hit that. Obviously, Washington has a national championship, but Oregon was in the national championship game a couple of times, and they've been to the top or near the top, which, you know, I think makes it a little bit more something.
Yeah, it's meaty. Well, we took for granted those years when Oregon was battling Oregon State for the right to go to a Rose Bowl, mm-hmm. which I think might have been 2 years in a row.
Those were fun years.
That was a blast.
Where if Oregon State had beat Oregon, they would have gone. Yeah. I think it was like... Was it 08, 09, or 06, 07? Somewhere in there. Those were some fantastic Civil Wars. Yeah, it's interesting, too. I don't want to cut you off, but that's why I kind of like... I don't disagree with your point, but for a decade with Oregon State, it was back and forth.
Yeah.
It was in every other year, and the home team always won. And that created some sort of... there was drama there.
Even when one team was perceived... And was perceived to be that much better. I remember one year where Oregon really wasn't playing for much of anything. It was in Corvallis. And I remember Jeremiah Johnson going in there and running for like 200 plus yards. And it was supposed to be a coronation, right? All the Beaver fans brought roses to the game.
Exactly.
And Oregon was a 3 or 4 loss team, didn't have anything to play for necessarily. Oregon State, all they needed to do was beat
Oregon and they go to the Rose Bowl.
And Jeremiah Johnson just ran wild. And I just remember after the game walking around and seeing all the roses kind of laying down and just thinking to myself, wow, like that, there was even some... there was some drama, even when it wasn't supposed to be a good game, you still kind of got one of those.
And that's what you haven't had in this Oregon-Washington rivalry, yeah. right? That's why I think that there is hatred back and forth, or I don't like using the word hate. There is...
It's resentment from both sides.
Yes.
Because I think Oregon resented Washington because they always thought that Washington fan, you know, thought their S didn't stink.
Yes.
And then when Oregon got there, Washington was like, oh, you're new money. It's a Mercedes with a Six Flag bumper sticker on it and Uncle Phil and how dare you have that sort of thing. And so it was like this weird... fight between the two fan bases.
I couldn't have said it better myself.
I hate to say this, though. Don't you think Husky fans have been a little humbled with the down years?
Yeah.
They went over.
Yeah.
And oh, then, sure.
You know, so now they're a little less cocky than they were.
I would
Oregon fan probably has been humbled a little bit, too.
I would agree. Yeah.
So not to belabor the point, but what does Bilotti think is the biggest play of that game?
It was... Oh, boy. He said it. I think it was the drive... leading up to that pick, like where Danny O'Neill had, there were some third and longs. I mean, he won't put it on that one play.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Well, good, because all we ever hear is about Kenny Whedon.
Yeah.
I mean, I love Kenny Whedon. Great play, but there's been more.
There's one or two. The program has evolved.
You had a couple good years, you know?
I held like crazy. I was amazing. Wins. No, I had one big win. And
well, no, I'm saying in your career. It seems like the Kenny Wheaton thing is all they ever promote. It's
the
like
program has evolved since then, and there's other marquee moments.
Well, Chip was pretty good.
Yeah, true.
You know.
Yeah, but not against Washington.
So Joey Harrington in studio, courtesy of BMW of Portland, every Friday, 5:30. What do you expect to see? I think everybody thinks it's going to be a pretty low-scoring defensive struggle, which probably means it'll be 45-40, right?
You know, it's interesting because coming into the season, it was Easton and it was Herbert. Mm. Like that, I mean, the way Washington started offensively, oh my God. I mean, I thought they were going to be in the playoff discussion. And then the way that Oregon has shifted and become truly a defensive powerhouse. I don't want to say I don't know what to expect, because I don't know. Colorado is good, right? Colorado is good offensively.
Yeah.
They weren't great offensively. They're
a good team.
Yeah. They're good offensively.
Yeah. I mean, they're putting up 30 a game.
Sure.
I mean, that's the biggest offensive test you've had since Auburn.
Yep.
And you got 100%. I mean, you aced it.
Yeah, true. I don't know why I want to see it again, right?
Yeah.
Like these next 2 weeks, like I want to see it 2 more times.
Yeah.
Then I can be a believer. Then I can say that Oregon is definitively going to go on the road and put a stop to an offense that I saw put up a lot of points at the beginning of the season. Yeah. There's still that And maybe it's just from a decade of offensive dominance and defensive just, you know, hold on and don't, you know, don't break, that we're not conditioned to say or to have the confidence that our defense is the foundation of this team. But look, if you're, I had this conversation with somebody last week. We are so conditioned to think offense, 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 offense. What? Justin Herbert hasn't, you know, thrown 26 touchdowns yet. Oh, he stinks. Oh, by the way, what is it? 15 touchdowns and one pick. And you do that with a defense that's giving up less than 10 points a game. That is what everybody has been clamoring for the last 10 years, right? Because we've under Chip, we would blow through the conference and we'd play two games a year, once against Stanford and once against a bowl, you know, in a bowl game where people would push us around. Now we have a team that people don't push around, and we have a quarterback who knows how to take care of things and explode when he needs to, like he did last week. So what do I expect? I do expect a defensive game, but I think that Justin is well positioned to make it not just a 10-7 game, right? But a 24-7 game. You know, doesn't need to go off and explode, but do enough to show people that he's still in control.
From the quarterback perspective, let's talk more about Justin Herbert and Jacob Eason, but we'll do it when we get back. Joey Harrington in studio on 1080 The Fan. All right, we're back with more with Joey Harrington. It is Husky Week. You mentioned Justin Herbert has the ability to stretch a 10-7 game to a 24-7 game. Do you think against Oregon's defense, Jacob Eason has the ability to stretch a 10-7 game to a 24-7 game?
3 weeks ago, he did. I don't know if he does now, right? I mean, and that's the point that's giving me the most hesitation, right?
Is him?
Well, it's just that Washington is a bit of an enigma to me right now, right? They've been defensively fantastic. Kwiatkowski has been incredible up there for a long time.
Yeah, and then they have Jimmy Lake comes in. Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, they're very good. But and to see Eason come in and explode the way he did, like I said, you thought this was going to be a top 10, top 5 type of team. And then they've just fallen off. Like, they've just imploded. And they lost games where you look at it and say, what the hell are you doing? And so it's one of those things where you look at it and say, I've seen what I think he can do, but I've also seen him completely not do that for the better part of a month now. So I don't know what to think. The problem is the moment you go into it thinking, this guy stinks and, you know, he's fallen off the wagon, is the moment that a guy like that, you know, goes out and he puts up 350 on you.
Yeah, I look at it, and to me, the only place where I would say Oregon right now is inferior to Washington, you kicking game, which scares
what?
You in a close game.
No, I would.
And then, you know, people always said the coaching factor. But, you know, with the way Washington's played and you know, the defense has looked spotty at times in big moments. You know, Cal and Stanford both pushed him around. The offense has been absolutely Jekyll and Hyde, including against Arizona. I mean, they had the big performance in the second half, but they didn't look good at all in the first half. And so when I look at it from a position group, that's the only thing. And then being in Husky Stadium, that's the only thing that scares me for Oregon. But if you're going to do a tail of the tape boxing wise, Oregon has an advantage in just about every area here. And that's kind of strange. I know we're, you know, I think it's going to be a close game too, but you know, I'm not being a homer at all when I say I think Oregon is just the better team across the board.
I would agree with that. I think that they have played that way over the last month, you know, especially, but my only hesitation is that I don't want to take Washington out of that conversation because I think they could potentially still be that team later on in the season.
Let me ask you this from having played the position, because I feel like both teams need to run the ball to help their quarterbacks, right? Like if Jacob Eason, if you're saying...
I might disagree with that.
Okay. I think especially Washington is going to have to run the ball for Jacob Eason to keep Oregon's defense honest. Oregon's defense is that good.
Yeah. Yes.
From a quarterback perspective, what is that like? Like, how hard is that to know that your team is just not running the ball very well? Can you still get it done? Are there things on the outside you can do? How does that affect Jacob Eason and Justin Herbert's play?
Well, for Jacob Eason, I almost think it might, you know, if
I'm you trying might to air think, it out first.
Well, I'm thinking it might. As I'm thinking about this, maybe that's what's happened over the last couple of weeks, is maybe he's tried to put too much on him after, you know, after having an incredible start to the season. Maybe he tried to do too much. And I've been in that situation where you say it's all on me, it's got to be on me, and then you implode. I don't think that Justin Herbert needs Oregon to run the football. I think we saw it last week. I think we saw what we talked about it at Auburn, where we just wanted to see, just let him loose, right? You can still be a tough, hard-nosed team without being stubborn running the football.
Thank you.
You got the bet, yeah, right? You can be tough and hard-nosed up front on the offensive line. You can be tough and hard-nosed on defense. The reality is we don't have superstars in the backfield.
No, and running into eight-man fronts on right. a consistent basis to me, just that if I had one major criticism of Oregon's offense, it's that. It's right. the stubbornness of running into obvious run situations and run looks.
Right. So what they do last week against Colorado, they let Justin Herbert go. Yeah. And you saw what he could do. Now, Colorado's wasn't a great defense. Washington's going to be better. But I think that that is the type of game that is going to win for Oregon.
Okay, so you trust him to, you know, on the outside, I guess from your perspective, it doesn't matter how they're running the football. Justin Herbert's good enough to get it done, even though the DBs are much better this week than they were last week.
I do. I think there's a reason that Justin Herbert has been thought of as the number one pick in the NFL draft yeah. for the better part of the last year, because he can make it. It doesn't matter who the DBs on the other side of the ball aren't all going to be number one picks, right? They aren't all going to be first round draft picks. Justin can make those throws. Now, I know the wide receivers are not the most talented bunch, but when you have a quarterback who knows what to do and doesn't turn the football over and has a defense that has been as incredible as Oregon's has, he can take advantage of those opportunities when they arise. He knows he doesn't have to force it. He is playing for Oregon's style. He's playing perfect football. He really is. This is the style of team that Coach Cristobal is wanting to create. He said that. He's trying to create a hard-nosed, tough up front, defensive-minded, you know, group. It just happens to be that he has one of the smartest quarterbacks in the country under center.
Exactly. And that's why I've said you don't need to throw it 35 times, but I would like to see a couple opportunities, because Washington's going to give them to you. Washington's going to put 7-8 guys in the line of scrimmage.
Yep.
They're going to play man on the outside. I don't think Washington's scared at all of any of Oregon's receivers. So to me, there's opportunities there. And even if they're incomplete, for the love of God, take a couple shots downfield and at least make Washington think about playing two high safeties. Just put the thought in Jimmy Lake's head that you might want to take one of those young freshman safeties and move him 7 yards off the ball. That's all I'm asking. And then on the other side of things, to me, if you want to look at where Washington to me has been dreadful, and I think it's cost them both the Stanford and the Cal game, is on third down. They are horrific. Even against Arizona, I think they were 3 of 13 on third down. So if they can't get into third and manageable situations
against Oregon's defense,
you yeah. are cooked, because they have been bad all year long on third down. And if you get in third and six plus against this defense, have fun.
Hey, I have a stat for you.
Okay.
Third down. Yeah. I was looking at that today. Yeah, the last three games, Washington was 22% on third down. Do you know where Oregon ranks in terms of third down opponents' conversions?
I'm guessing pretty high.
92nd.
Really?
Yes. Opponents are getting 6 third down conversions per game, which ranks them 92nd.
Wow.
Interesting.
Wouldn't have guessed that.
No, but I think that, to me, I just, as I've watched Washington this year and drops too, they've almost got a little bit of Oregon last year. They, against Stanford and Cal, I think there were 6 drops a piece in those games. And those are, when you don't have a great offense. Hence, you mean talk about this. How frustrating is that when you're trying to build a rhythm, you find a guy open on 3rd and 7, you hit him in the hands, and he drops the stinking ball?
Well, the thing is, it's not just that one drop, right? It's the subsequent opportunities that would come from catching that ball on third down and moving the chains. And now you have X more opportunities, which give you points, which, you know, you win games with points.
Well, look, this feels like an Auburn mulligan, right? Like you were saying after the Auburn game, and Suk was saying the same thing. Everybody was. Air it out. you know, get, you know, that's how you win that game. Well, here's your chance.
And it's not necessarily
to not air it out.
You don't have to throw the ball 40 times a game.
Multi-dimensional.
Right, right. Give the ball to your best player. Yes. Your best player is Justin Herbert.
Yeah, and this is your opportunity to do that.
Justin
make the same mistake again.
Justin will go 26 for 34, right? For
780.
What's that?
780.
For 780 yards? Yeah. For 73,000. For, you know, for 276 and a couple touches.
All right, last question. Mariota. Benched.
Yep.
You think we'll see him again?
Yeah.
In Tennessee?
No. No, you won't. I mean,
he's out of there.
I think he needs to get out of there. I think that for himself, he needs to get out of there. We talk about it all the time. It is a confidence factor. It is a timing factor. There's nothing wrong with his skill set. He has the same talent he did 5 years ago, right? It is just getting away from that constant scrutiny and that constant self-doubt. And honestly, he may be able to go somewhere else and just pick up and go. It may take him a while, like it did for me. You know, I left Detroit and went to Miami. Ended up starting for him, but I wasn't ready mentally. It took me all the way till probably the end of Atlanta, my next, you know, 2 to 3 years later, till I was ready. And by that time, you know what? The ship had sailed. So do I think we'll see him again? Absolutely, I do. He's too talented not to, but...
it's an uphill battle.
Yeah, yeah, it is. It is.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
It's always great to see you.
I know. I mean, thank you. Sorry.
And we'll talk to you next week. Should be fun. We'll have a lot to talk about.
Yeah. Yeah, we will.
Joey Harrington's appearance is here on the show, courtesy of BMW of Portland. We will be back with the club on The Fan.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.